okay. Sister Crittle, it's time to start. You might find your seat right there. Brother Gary, you might find your seat, brother. Sister Cherry, no walking around. You need to get back here. Hey, we have fun at church. Amen? All right. Sister Faye back there is still cooking hot dogs. She's back there just thinking that she's... It was awesome yesterday. I'm just going to second what Brandon said. And Faye, the hot dogs were good. Y'all did good. Did you spray them with anything?
No, sir.
Okay, all right, all right. Oh, my gosh. We had 1 year. I think it was just 1 year the guy was there out in the homesteads when we first started this. And he was cooking all these hot dogs. And, man, they had the best taste to it. But not everybody liked it, you know. And so I went up to him. I said, "What is your secret?" And he pulled out the spray bottle full of pineapple juice. So he was spraying the hot dogs with pineapple juice. So anyway, my goodness, God has moved in this place today.
Amen. Amen.
He's not through. He's going to still work. He doesn't leave anything halfway, does he, Sister Jean? And so he's going to complete today. And you're going to leave here, and it's going to be a continual work. Sister Debbie getting baptized next Sunday. That's going to be awesome. And again, any others, it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to do communion here in just a little bit. But why don't you, let me share the word. Let me get started with this one little story here right quick. A small church was raising funds for a new piano. On Sunday, the pastor said, "Whoever gives the most money today for the offering can pick out 3 hymns. So they passed the offering plate around, and the pastor sees a $100 bill in the plate. "Thank you." And he said, "Oh, looks like we have a winner. Whoever gave the $100 bill can come up to the front and select 3 hymns. So an 80-year-old woman, little lady, slowly gets up, slowly walks to the front. She turns around to the pews and she points her finger and says, "I'll take him and him and him." Needless to say, we're not going to do that here. We're not going to take it. Woo! You can put the $100 bill in, but that, you know, no strings attached to it there. All right. I want to thank all of you for being obedient, even today. Becca and Logan and all the others, Tessa and Brother Gary, thank y'all. Thank you. I'm telling you, I want to be sensitive to his spirit. Amen? Amen. Yesterday was so awesome. It was so awesome. I'm telling you. Hearts and lives were changed. And we may not know all the things, but I'm telling you, as you're sitting there and the gospel message goes out, it does its work.
Amen.
When the word is sent out, you may not know it, but it doesn't come back void. Amen. And so, Sister Lutine, we're glad to see you today, too.
Amen. Amen.
And Daisy, we're glad to have you with us again today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Daisy shared with us last week. She had been going quite a ways to find a church and go to church, but she just wanted something new. There had to be something in Alvarado, so she just passed by, said, "I need to come to that place. I need to go in there and check them folks out." So There's only one or two you have to worry about, okay? Sister Cherry back there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We hope you've made yourself, hope we've made you welcome and at home today. Hallelujah. All right, let's get started. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We'll have it on the screen. This is the Apostle Paul writing to his young protege, Timothy. And he's telling him, let's start with verse 1. He says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." How many know there's some terrible things happening out there right now? Verse 2 says, "People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. There's going to be some that's boastful and proud. There's going to be some abusive and disobedient to the parents. There's going to be some ungrateful and unholy, some without love and unforgiving and slanderous." Well, we've seen that this last few weeks with that trial where the media has even slandered that young man. "Without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." There's a lot out there like that. And look what Paul tells him. He says, "Have nothing to do with such people." That doesn't mean that we stop loving them, but that means we don't just hang around with them. Amen. You don't have to go where they go or do what they do. But you can love them, and I promise you, if that's a coworker or even a family member, you can win them to the Lord. Amen. And they can change. Amen. Amen. Title of my message this week and today, being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, title of my message is "Time to Make a Difference." And you made a difference yesterday with showing your love. If you haven't noticed lately, it seems like we're constantly being bombarded daily on the news channels lack of a better word, of just how much of a dog-eat-dog world we live in. How many know that's the kind of world we're living in right now? Amen. You know, it's pretty sad when parents that go before the school board and want to tell the school board openly about the pornography that's in the books in their library and the pornographic books in the elementary school. And what happens because of that, they get labeled to be a terrorist. Something is sad about that. Something is wrong with that in the world, that a parent can't speak out, have no say. And then the government is bad enough that the FBI raids her home. And she's a homeschooler, and she's teaching her kids. And they come in and go through her whole house. That was on the news this week. And we're living in a bad times, or in a terrible times right now. It also seems like now more than ever that everybody seems to think everybody else owes you something. Amen. Nobody seems grateful anymore. And the word "thank you" has been all but erased from a lot of conversations. That's how the world views it. But those of us, listen, who know the meaning of the word thanksgiving and who knows the Creator of all things, anybody know the Creator of all things? We realize then just how good God is to all of mankind each and every day, all throughout the year. And if you're one of His, if you're in the family of God, then the more you get to know Him, the more you realize how He goes out of His way each and every day to shine favor and grace down upon His children. Amen. Anybody ever found favor? You found you pray and He'll give you that parking spot right there next to the door. He'll do it for you. And that's just a little thing. He'll do big things for you, Aiden. He'll get you there, brother. That's why the fourth Thursday then in November each year is more than just a day to watch football or a day to plan a big dinner with family and take lots of little naps. But how many of we all do that? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to enjoy this Thursday. It's going to be fun to be with family. Thanksgiving really is then a time to reflect on the goodness of God. Brandon touched on it and how he has blessed each and every one of us beyond measure. Beyond measure. How many know you've been blessed beyond measure? Even the poorest of poor in America are rich compared to probably 90% of the rest of the world. And sometimes we have so much and we're so blessed we don't even have time to enjoy what we do have. Amen? How many times have you ever heard someone say when they're trying to sell something, maybe they're holding a yard sale or a garage sale or something, and they're trying to sell it, about how few times that item has been used, and oh, it's just like brand new. Well, let me say something. If it's just brand new, then why are you getting rid of it? I'll tell you why. Because you're blessed. In fact, we are all blessed beyond measure. God is so good to each and every one of us, and it's not based on us being worthy of it, of any of His goodness, because we're not. None of us are worthy. It's based totally on His goodness. And that's why we should be thankful all year long, not just on the fourth Thursday of November of each year. And I would imagine that any of us were, if we were to write down all the blessings that God has done for us throughout the year, there probably wouldn't be paper enough or enough pen and paper to write it all down. How many can say God has been good to you this year? In spite of all the junk, in spite of all the chaos, maybe the loss of a loved one or a friend or something, God is still there. He's still working. As Brandon said, He's still on the throne working on our behalf. Amen. Amen. God is good. The psalmist David gave us instructions on how to pay tribute to the one true God. And it's something that we should do daily, every morning. You know, like push-ups. Only praise the Lord kind. Like lifting your hands towards heaven. Instead of lifting your body off the floor. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. They're both good for you, Brother Gary. Both of them. Both of those. They're both good for you. But how many know one is definitely the better up for us? Psalms 100, 1 through 5. This says a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pastures. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Hallelujah. I heard the story of the lady that was needing some food and she was praying and she'd go by that refrigerator, lay her hands on that refrigerator. Didn't have a thing in it. She said, "Thank you, Lord, for a full refrigerator." She got up doing that every day for just maybe a few days, the way the story goes, and she'd come one morning and opened her front door, and there on her front porch, it was completely full of bags of sacked groceries. Full bags. The Lord provided. Then I don't know if you remember the story, how I think Sister Carol Cartwright, you may remember her from many years ago. And she told the story about a mom, true story, and how she went to help this mom out. She had some children. It was just her and her children. And her mom had left and had to go, and I think she had to go for outpatient surgery or something that day. But Carol came in that morning and to give the kids their breakfast. She got there in time. They were all around the table. And she opened the cupboards. Mother had just left. She opened the cupboards where the food closet was at, and there was nothing hardly in there, but there was some cereal. And it was one big box of cereal, but it was a half. She shook it. It was about half full. But she knew that would not feed all six of those children. And so she got it down, and just as she started to pour, you know, she was kind of slowing up. The little boy said, "Just keep pouring. Just keep pouring. That's what mama does." And so she kept pouring that little half box, whatever the size box it was, she just kept pouring and filled all of those kids' cereal. Amen. God just kept supplying. Amen. That little boy said, "Just keep pouring. That's what mama does. Keep pouring. Keep pouring." Historically, we think of Thanksgiving as a time of feasting for the pilgrims and the Indians. Many of us grew up hearing and reading stories. I want to share one with you. In the fall of 1621, the pilgrims had been in America less than a year. And during those months, over half of their original population died from disease or starvation. And the pilgrims hosted their first feast, not to try out their latest recipes, but to celebrate life. That being the new life that God had given them. And as meager as their beginnings in their new environment was, they were happy to be able to worship God the way they wanted to. Remember, they could not do that over in England. And it's sad to say, but for the very reason they came, which was for the freedom of religion, has all but been taken away in America. How many realize that? The first National Day of Thanksgiving was declared by President George Washington on the 3rd of October, 1789. Understand with me that the pilgrims did not have any of the modern conveniences that we enjoy today. By anyone's standards of today, these people were roughing it. Can you imagine no running water, no electricity, no air conditioning? And guess what? They didn't have cell phones. What would we do, oh my gosh, if we didn't have our cell phone? Yet they realized how good God was to them, and they wanted to proclaim it and let the whole world know too. So let me ask, what in the world has happened then to our modern day leaders? How many know it's few and far between of great leaders? It's like that old saying, you have got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. How many know we need to be standing today? Little by little, many critics, or we could say right out, haters of the Christian faith, are attempting to rewrite our nation's history. Amen. And guess what? Taking down statues does not help anything. Erasing our history doesn't help anything. We learn from our history. Amen? President George Washington's Declaration of Thanksgiving indicated that our nation's founders and leaders were men of favor who sought God's favor. And it seems like God has certainly honored and kept America all these years because of our founding fathers and their great faith and their convictions. Many who signed the Declaration of Independence were pastors, and they prayed. Understand, God has always had great men and women down through the years in our country's heritage at the right place and exactly at the right time. And how many know we need more men and women like that today to get involved and take a stand? And even today, when the country and the rest of the world sometimes seems to be at its worst and sinking fast, you can rest assured that God is still watching everything going on in the world involving His children. You don't have anything to worry about. You don't have anything to fear because we serve a mighty God. Our Heavenly Father promises to take care of us. And I don't know about you, but I still have hope in America, and I'm still believing for that last great awakening. And it has begun. It has begun. Today, the Sunday before our Thanksgiving holiday, I want to share this true story about the beginnings of our country and how God, as our loving Heavenly Father, who when you seek Him and you put Him first, listen to this now, when you seek Him and you put Him first in everything, He'll always take care of you. He'll always make a way, and He'll always be in the right place at the right time. He'll work on your behalf. He goes before us and makes the rough places straight. Amen? Most of us, if you've gone through your school and you've heard the story of the Indians in those first days, there was an Indian named Squanto. You can Google Squanto, and the story is there. Story about him meeting the pilgrims. But really, here's the story. The miracle happened long before that event took place with the pilgrims and the Indians, the pilgrims landing. This is just one of the examples of how God does things when we don't know what He's doing at the time. What did Job say? I can't see Him in front of me. I can't see Him in back of me. I can't see Him to the right. I can't see where He's working over here on my behalf. And I'm going to come through this shining like pure gold. That's what Job said. Many people have no idea that any white man came to the coast of New England before the pilgrims did in 1620. You've been taught that that's when we first came to America. Most just think that the pilgrims came and that was the first time that Englishmen had come to America. But there were many traders, ones that traded back and forth, who would come from England and other places, and they would come down the coast of the state of Maine that's there now in Massachusetts, and they would trade with the Indians. And the story says that around 1612, there was a trader named Captain Hunter, and he came to the coast of Massachusetts, and he was trading with the Indians. He was obviously, the story says, a bad man, because when the Indians came down trustingly to trade with him, he would knock them over the head. He would take them into his ship, and he threw them down in the hold of the ship, chained them down, and he took them across the Atlantic, and he sold them into slavery into Spain. And this, of course, was a nightmare for the Indians, as one by the name of Squanto was one of those captured and sold into slavery. And the story says that the monks there in Spain, who were men of God, bought him and treated him well. There he was taken. He was taught the Christian faith. And the story says 3 years later, they made it possible for him to get to England from Spain. And so he went from Spain to England. Just think of a young Indian boy from Massachusetts going all the way across the ocean to Spain, and then going up to England so that he could somehow get a ship to come back across the Atlantic to his people. There were no ships at the time, the story said. So he worked in a stable as a stable boy for a family called Slaney. Quanto was with them for 5 years. until a ship going back to the coast of North America could be found, another trading ship. This was around 1620. Story says he learned English while living there in England, in London, and it said that he was dreaming and hoping and praying that he could come back to his family after 10 years of exile and slavery. He learns that a ship is going to America, and he got a job being a translator on the ship. He gets all the way back again against all odds. We can't even dream of what he went through. He comes back to the coast of Massachusetts, and he runs to the place where he was raised. But sadly, there was no one there. His entire tribe had been wiped out by disease, and it said it was probably smallpox at the time. He was heartbroken. 10 years to get back, and no one is here. Squanto began to live. He went to live with a neighboring tribe briefly. But after a short period of time, he went to live in the woods by himself. Now remember that in 1620, a band of pilgrims and a little boat came across the Atlantic, trusting God to lead them. And they land and they experience hardship. They experience the cold and starvation. Because remember, they were there and they had to build their own buildings, cut down their trees and build their homes. And these were faithful Christians, but the story said over half of them died. And so they got through their first winter, as we know the story. And you can imagine that they were probably questioning God. Lord, how could you have taken us this far to leave us stranded? It's like you have forsaken us. Their trials and their hardships were devastating, and they were crying out to God. We know that these were very strong Christians, and suddenly, in the midst of all of their crying, in the midst of all their praying and calling out to God and questioning Him, the story says, suddenly, out of the woods walked an Indian brave speaking English in 1621. They were so shocked. Here is an Indian spreading or speaking perfect English. Remember, he was actually in London, England, much more recently than they were. And it just happened that he grew up on the very spot where they had settled. This was his home, and that had been abandoned by his tribe. He had no place to go. So guess what? They became his family. And he knew everything there was to know about how you plant corn. Squanto showed them how to plant corn with the fish as the fertilizer, how to plant the gourd around the corn so it would grow up the stalk of the corn. He knew how to get fish out of muddy streams, and he knew where the lobsters were and where the good fish were. He knew everything about surviving. And the Lord used him truly, miraculously, the story says, to help sustain their life. What a miracle that God did. So in the fall, after a good harvest of crops and wild game taken from the woods, the pilgrims and the Indians had a harvest feast for the blessings that God had bestowed upon them. William Bradford wrote later that Quanto was a special instrument sent by God for their good beyond their expectations. So here then is the essence of my word today. Can I just tell you that our God is an always on-time God. He is always in the right place at the right time. You don't have to worry that he's taking a nap. He always makes provision for his people. Has he not made provision for you time and time again? If you talk to Sister Lutine, she'll share with you how God has provided for this sweet lady. He'll always make a way where there seems to be no way. Listen, someone needs to hear that today. He will make a way where there seems no way. Whatever you're going through today, I don't care if there's just a handful today or a few listening online, God will make a way. Squanto helped them recover from their first difficult winter by teaching them the best places to catch fish. He helped them to build warmer houses. He acted as an interpreter and guided them on trading expeditions. God used Squanto to create blessings resulting in thanksgiving in others. So here's the question then for all of us. Will you allow God to work something through you? And many of you did that yesterday. Are you willing then to surrender your life to the Lord in order for Him to use you to be a blessing to others? Don't surrender your life just to get Him to help you for your needs, because He's going to take care of you. But you surrender your life to be able to help others. Hallelujah. Some folks say, well, I just have a little bit. I need to hang on to it. I can't give anything. I mean, I have to have food and I need the Lord to help me. You know, I got my food, need to pay my rent, pay my utilities. I have to pay my cell phone bill. I got to keep that on. So I really can't give anything, you know, Pastor. But I'm telling you, God, if you'll ask Him for seed to sow, He'll send it. I was praying the other week. I said, Lord, I want some seed to sow. And unbeknown, I went to the post office and there was a check from the gas royalty. $127. I thank you, Lord. That's my seed to sow. And I'm telling you, I sowed that seed. I'll just go ahead and tell you, okay? I sowed that $100 yesterday to somebody. Before the event was ended, somebody come up to me, handed me the same amount, and I put it in my pocket. Of $100. $100. I kept the 27, but I sowed the 100, okay? I sowed it into somebody, and before the event, somebody came back. Here he says, I want to give that to you. I stuck it in my pocket. God, you can't outgive God. Don't doubt Him. Don't doubt Him. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. We could all agree that there's work to be done right here in our community. And of course, our country. And again, I want to say we did a work yesterday and we impacted lives. And yes, we know our nation's leaders desperately need our prayers. Every day we should be praying for them. Let me read this scripture from Ephesians. How am I doing? Are we good? I still got a few minutes? Okay, I'm hurrying. Ephesians chapter 2. This is from the Message translation. I did not give it to Jennifer. It's just chapter 2, 7 through 10, it's three verses or so here. Message translation. Listen to this. Now God has us where He wants us with all the time in this world and next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all His idea and all His work. All we are to do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He does the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work He does, the good work He's gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. So there is much then this year to be thankful for. And the best way we can thank God is to tell someone else about Him. Now, Kaylin, would you come on up? And if y'all will get a hold of Sister North and tell her to come on back up, we're going to receive communion again today. Every one of us have a story to share, a testimony of God's healing, saving, and delivering power. And I want to encourage you to make a point this week of Thanksgiving, to talk about Jesus. Talk to somebody. Just share with them about the love of God, what the Lord has done for you in your life, and how He died on the cross for us so that they can experience the eternal life, the greatest miracle of all. How many know that God is in the life-changing business? Life-changing business. We heard the word change used over and over today. What we tell those around us and who we come in contact with will change their life forever, Logan. What we tell those around us and who we come in contact with will change their lives forever. And guess what? We can do it. Would you look at somebody and tell them, we can do it. We can do it. If we will allow God to help us, He will put us, just like Squanto was, exactly at the right place and at the right time to minister His word. If it's outside your car and you're about to walk into David's and there's somebody sitting in that car next to you and there's a little thing in you, say, you need to pray for them. Find out who they are. Got something going on in their life. How many times have we brushed that off and just gone on in? And then came back and they were gone. I promise the Lord, I ain't going to do that no more. I ain't going to let that happen. Forgive me, Lord. You put somebody there in their place to take care of them because you wanted to speak through me and I didn't do it. You can become the person God has destined you to be. You can do the works that He ordained you to do. You can become a miracle to someone else as Squanto did. Listen, to the world, you might be just one person. Watch this now. To the world, you might just be one person. But to one person, you might be the world. Share your thankfulness this week when you sit down to Thanksgiving dinner. And more importantly, then share it and enjoy it all year long by telling someone else about the Lord Jesus and your relationship with Him. So, as we prepare for communion, guys, would you come up and get the communion cups? All right, they're coming in. I'm going to read some verses here as we did last week as we're preparing communion. Brother Tony, you want to help Brother Gary? And Brother Garen's over there. He's going to help Brother Brandon here. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Just keep working on it, brother. You'll get it. You broke my wafer.
Well, it didn't break. That was just a piece of plastic.
Oh, that was a plastic. I don't want to eat the plastic.
No, you're good. Give me a second. I got it.
All right.
Got it.
All right.
Continue.
Okay, I'm going to read my scripture, y'all. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Thank you very much. First of all, again, the Lord just impressed me week before last And I've told some of you, I told it last Sunday. What we're going, Aiden agrees with me too. What we've been going through, y'all. Whatever you're going through as an individual. But we know in the country, in our nation, things are going on. But the Lord impressed me. He said, you need to have communion every Sunday for the following week for protection. Thanking the Lord for what he's done. But also standing on his word this week. Psalm 91, you read it. Be faithful to read that word. Stand on that word. Psalm 91. But listen, he'll take care of us. Let's go ahead and read. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received, this is Paul talking. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my life. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. All right, Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Here's the other words. He was pierced for our offenses. He was bruised for our iniquities. Another translation says he was crushed. He was crushed for our wrongdoing. And then it says that for the chastisement of our peace. Listen to this. He was the punishment. He took the punishment for our well-being. It was laid upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. Let me ask you, how many believe the word of God? Yes. Hallelujah. Not only for healing, not only for salvation, but for protection and wholeness. Now, before we partake, I've asked Sister Jean, I was praying in the spirit. Come on up, Sister Jean. Hallelujah. I was praying in the spirit all the way here. Thank you, Brother Tony. Just said it right there. That's good. I was praying in the spirit all the way here, and I got up on the freeway and said, I was saying, Lord, what do you want for today? What do we need to do? And he says, before you take communion, you ask Sister Jean to come share a word that I'm going to give her. And so, Sister Jean, would you come and you just share what the Lord has given you in regards to it? There we go.
And he most certainly did, because Pastor texted me and said, asked me if I would say a few words before communion, we partake of it. And he said, maybe just something that you're thankful for. You know, it's Thanksgiving. Maybe something you're thankful for. Just share what the Lord gives you. I said, well, we can do that. You know, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. We're all very thankful today. I know you are. But immediately the Lord dropped three words into my spirit. That was not premeditated at all. And three words that I'm the most thankful for today. And so I'm going to ask you first, just to think for just a minute. If I were to ask you, what are three words that you are most thankful for? Perhaps you'd say, well, I love you. I like those words. I don't know what else it might be. Three words that you could be the most thankful for. But the Lord dropped this into my spirit. And it's found in John chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished.
Brandon, that just encompasses everything. Everything. It is finished. I mean, that just got a hold to me. I hope it gets a hold to somebody else like it did me this morning. Three words to be thankful for this morning. It is finished. Finished, according to Webster, just simply means entirely done. There's nothing left to do. This past Thursday, I had a goal, and I really didn't think I'd make it. I didn't have a whole lot of confidence that I could myself that I could do it. But I had some orders for cinnamon rolls, and I needed to get out 35 dozen cinnamon rolls. I don't know how many of you are bakers, or how many of you have ever tried to bake 35 dozen cinnamon rolls in one day. My goal, the lady was coming to pick up the first part of those at 4:30. And if I didn't have them all done by 4:30, she would come back early the next morning to pick up the remainder. And so I set it in my goal, Linda, to have all 35 dozen done by 4:30. So I could say it's finished. I'm done. I can clean the kitchen back up. And so I set that out, that goal to finish 30. The Lord woke me up at 4:30 in the morning, and I was wide awake. I thought, I'll just get in there and get started baking now. If you've ever, you ladies have ever made bread of any kind, you know there's some rising that has to take place. There's some waiting that has to be done, you know? Now, if you're one of those people who's used a bread machine, I've never used one of them, so I don't know how to use a bread machine. Maybe you've baked bread that way. But if you've ever baked bread the old-fashioned way, like us old women do, it takes some waiting on. People don't understand that sometimes, and they'll call me for an order, and they want some homemade cinnamon rolls, but they'd like to pick them up in an hour. Well, I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen that way. You've got to mix it up, Amber, and then you've got to prepare it. I roll them out. Put that good cinnamon and sugar on there, and I roll them up and cut them and put them in a pan, and then I have to walk off and leave them because they have to rise. Whew! One of these days, we're going to rise. We're going to rise. And so it takes some waiting. And then I only have one oven, and I can only put four pans in it at a time. So I'm putting those first four pans in to bake while the others are sitting there and they're rising, and I'm getting them out and I'm putting four more in, and I'm doing that just nonstop. Do you know, by 1:30, I was able, Brother Gary, actually by 12 o'clock, I had them all rolled out, all cut, and a big part of them already baked. And at 1:30, I could say, it's finished! I can start cleaning the kitchen now. And it was a mess. I mean, I got a little bitty kitchen, and you start baking 35 dozen, you just got flour everywhere. Looks like some of these children been in there baking when I get through. But it was done. And there was such a feeling of thankfulness when I could say, they're done. It is finished. And when he hung on the cross, you know what was finished? There'd be no more sacrifices. No more little lambs. No more turtle doves. No more other things that were brought for sacrifices for forgiveness. No other little lamb was going to be raised to be slaughtered, because the lamb... The Lamb, the Lamb of God, became the ultimate supreme sacrifice. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our sins were upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. And when he told him just the verse before, a couple of verses before, he said, "I thirst." I love it when Brother Gordon sings, "I thirst." Jesus said, "I thirst." And they brought vinegar. I don't know about you, but when I'm thirsty, I don't want vinegar. But they did. And the Bible says that he received the vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and they put it up on a hyssop and they put it to his mouth. That's all you can have. Wet your mouth with this. A mockery. And he received the vinegar and he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The last three words he said as Jesus the man. Because I'm telling you, when he came up out of that grave, there had been a transformation that happened during that 3 days. And the last three words, Brandon, that he said is, "It is finished. I have done the work that I was sent to do. And it is finished." No more sacrifice. He became the sacrifice. No more atonement for sin. He became the atonement for sin. And no more would men go into the temple and give their offering or their sacrifice, and then the priest go behind the veil. No more. No more. Because at that moment, when the earth began to shake, the veil of the temple was rent. It is finished.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Sister Jean. That was awesome. That was awesome. All right. You have your cups? Wow. I said the Lord wasn't through. He did finish on the cross, but he's not through working in us today. But everything we need, he's already taken care of. If you're still needing a healing, need something to change, that word has been used today. How awesome is that? Thank y'all for being obedient to share that. Oh my gosh. The Lord's ready to do it. So what we have to do is surrender, Sister Jean. Like you were saying earlier, we've got to surrender then, Lord. Okay. Then you show me what I need to change. He says, "I'm ready to do it for you, but this is, you got to do something." So we're going to remember what he did for us. Just right where you're seated. If you've got your bread. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you today. Lord, I thank you that as we partake of this communion today, we're remembering, partaking of this bread, we were remembering what you did and what happened. Your body was broken for us, for our healing, for our wholeness. Lord, we'll never forget. We're going to remember this. We're going to thank you. We're going to thank you for you that you're keeping us this week, for your hand of protection upon us this very week, that you've gone before us. You're already working on our behalf. So, Lord, I thank you right now, all right? Let's partake of the bread in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we're remembering how your blood was shed. in so many ways, from the garden all the way to the cross. Your blood was shed. We thank you for our salvation. Lord, you picked us up out of the miry clay. You have set us on a rock to stay. You're that rock. Lord, I thank you. Don't ever let us forget for where you brought us from and what you did for us. So right now, as we partake of this cup, we're saying this is your blood that you shed for us, for our saving, for our salvation, and we thank you for it. Let's all partake of the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you just raise your hands to the Lord? Let's just worship him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that it's finished. That very need, you see what I'm needing this week, Lord. You see those finances. Whatever it is, a job, occupation, whatever it may be, relational, spiritual, physical, it's finished. I thank you, Lord, that you've gone before us. I thank you for it. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, he's going to work something this week. We're in a season of miracles. I don't care what's going on around us. God's in a miracle working business. He will heal your families this week. As you come together with your family members, maybe there's some that you hadn't seen in a while or hadn't talked to. But I'm telling you, he'll bring some healing this very week. I'll just say that in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in this place today. I thank you for every man, woman, and child today. I thank you, Lord, every young person. Lord, you just go with us this week. We thank you. We truly are thankful for what you've done in our lives and what you did for us. Thank you for your word that we can stand on. It says it's finished. I thank you for that today. I thank you for this body of people, Lord. And I thank you for what you did yesterday, Lord. And I just speak strength over this body today. I speak strength to their physical body. And Lord, I just speak blessings over them as they go from this place. And this week is going to be a week of thanksgiving, God. Lord, as we wake up every morning, Lord, we want to thank you for life. Thank you for breath. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap today? Thank you, Lord. All right. I love you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.